directly from the Zambian sun. You see, there's Going Green, then there's Going Green with Stanbic. Call 8888 for details. Stanbic is an authorized financial services provider and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
This time check is brought to you by Stanbic Bank.
The time on Phoenix FM is 18 hours. Up next, the Phoenix FM main news.
This time check was brought to you by Stanbic Bank.
Phoenix FM.
Check.
There we go.
106.7. Bonze.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
You've been waiting all year, planning, training for this one thing. The 18th edition of the Absa Cup is here. In the football stands, we stand as one. Now, it's time to get together for the ultimate soccer experience, the Absa Cup. Follow the action this March to May and watch it on Supersport, DSTV, and GoTV. Grab your tickets now at ShopRite CompuTicket.
Your story matters. Absa.
The headlines. ECZ sets 26th of June 2025 as date for Lumezi parliamentary by-election. Police confirmed death of suspect in bribery case linked to incest. And in global news, pressure mounts to probe Kenya police and army after BBC expose. With the evening main news bulletin on Phoenix FM, I'm Kafula Mulenga. The Electoral Commission of Zambia, ECZ, has prescribed Thursday the 26th of June 2025 as the date on which to hold the Lumezi parliamentary by-election in Eastern Province. The Commission has also set Thursday the 26th of June 2025 as the date on which to hold two ward by-elections in Firalala Ward in Milenge District of Luapula Province and Tua Ward in Sikongo District of Western Province. ECZ Corporate Affairs Manager Patricia Luhanga says filing of nominations for the said by-elections will be conducted on Tuesday, the 27th of May 2025, while campaign period commences on Wednesday, the 28th of May 2025, and will end at 18 hours on Wednesday, the 25th of June 2025. In a statement, Ms. Luhanga says the by-election in Lumezi has arisen due to the conviction by the courts of law of the incumbent independent member of parliament, Munia Zulu, while the vacancies in the two wards are due to a resignation of Councillor Likezo Kaunga of Tua Ward and the death of Councillor Mishet Chisala of Fivalala Ward. The Zambia Police Service has confirmed the death of a female suspect who was in custody at Kawata Police Station in connection with a bribery case linked to the attempted release of a man charged with incest. The deceased was one of three women arrested and jointly charged with conspiracy to defeat justice and interference with witnesses, as well as corrupt practices by or with private bodies after they attempted to bribe police officers in a bid to secure the release of their husband Juma Banda, who was arrested for allegedly defiling his 10-year-old daughter. Police spokesperson Ray Hamonga, who confirmed the development, says 39-year-old Anna Kandonga passed away on Sunday the 28th of April 2025 while receiving treatment at the University Teaching Hospital under police guard. Mr. Hamonga says the deceased reportedly started feeling unwell on the 23rd of April, complaining of general body weakness and throat pain. He says her condition worsened over the following days, with medical staff detecting dangerously high blood sugar levels.
According to medical records and police reports, the deceased began feeling unwell on the 28th of April 2025, complaining of general body weakness and a painful throat. On the 24th of April 2025, medical personnel recommended further tests to her deteriorating condition. On the 26th of April 2005, she was taken to Kawata Clinic after falling ill again, where her blood sugar levels were discovered to be abnormally high. She was subsequently referred to Chirenja Level 1 Hospital. Her condition worsened on the 27th of April 2005, and she slipped into a coma. Sadly, around 12 hours on the 20th of April 2005, she succumbed to her illness while admitted to the Investiture Hospital. The deceased body has since been deposited in Investiture Hospital mortuary, awaiting postmortem examination and burial arrangements.
The Anti-Corruption Commission, ACC, has expressed concern over increasing reports of bribery in cases involving gender-based violence, GBV, particularly those affecting young girls who have been victims of defilement, rape, and other serious sexual offences. ACC Head Corporate Communications Timothy Mono says the commission has observed with concern that certain individuals, especially relatives of offenders, have attempted and at times succeeded in bribing law enforcement officers to prevent the prosecution or to secure the release of these criminals. Mr. Mono has said in a statement that such actions not only obstruct justice, but also re-traumatize victims and enable continued cycles of abuse. He explains that these heinous crimes are being further aggravated by disturbing attempts to protect perpetrators through corrupt means. Mr. Mono emphasizes that soliciting or accepting a bribe in such sensitive matters is not only illegal, but also a grave betrayal of the public trust and an affront to the victim's dignity, as it undermines national efforts to combat both corruption and GBV. He has warned that all law enforcement officers and members of the public must reject all forms of bribery, adding that anyone found engaging in corrupt practices in relation to GBV cases will face the full force of the law. UPND Chairman for Energy Charles Kaisala has revealed that Zambia is now saving approximately $45 million from power importation costs following government's interventions aimed at diversifying into alternative energy sources. Addressing the media this morning, Mr. Kaisala notes that ZESCO was spending about $60 million in power importation from Mozambique and South Africa during the early stages of load shedding, but that only $15 million is currently being spent. He, however, explains that despite the country experiencing improved water levels as a result of a normal 2024-25 rain season, electricity cannot be generated at full capacity due to the water levels at both Zambezi and Kafue Basin not being adequate due to the seriousness of last year's drought. Mr. Kaisala, who is also ZESCO board member, says if the power utility was to generate power at full capacity, power would only last for 2 months. He has stressed the need for cautious and strategic management of current water resources to ensure they last until the next rain season, thereby avoiding a resurgence of power shortages.
So, because we had a very, very serious drought, we haven't reached that level where we can generate power according to the normal rate. Therefore, there are variable water resources on the Zambezi and Kafue Basin. We are using it prudently because if we wanted to give you all the power now, we can do that, which means we can put the machines on full throttle. But what would that entail? It will entail that maybe that water will finish within 2 months. Then the rest of the month up to the next cycle of the rainy season will mean we don't have power. So which means we'll crash the economy. There will be no electricity. So we are using the water so that we are able to generate power that can last us up to the next cycle of the rainy season.
In global news, leading human rights organizations have renewed calls for investigations into the killing of protesters by Kenya's security forces during demonstrations against a rise in taxes last June. It follows a BBC Africa Eye investigation exposing members of the security forces who shot dead 3 protesters at Kenya's parliament, igniting public outrage and demands for justice. Amnesty International and the Kenya Human Rights Commission said the officers identified in the documentary should face the law. The BBC reports on this and other global news stories.
Amnesty International has demanded Kenyan officials release information about protesters killed in anti-tax demonstrations in June last year. The organisation asked for a response after a BBC investigation identified members of the security forces who shot dead protesters in Nairobi. Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney has used his election victory speech to assert his country's sovereignty in the face of tariffs and annexation threats by President Trump. Mr. Carney said America was trying to break Canada in order to own it, but that this would never happen. At least 9 people have been killed in sectarian clashes near the Syrian capital Damascus. The violence pitted armed members of the Druze minority against Sunni gunmen. Druze elders and the Islamist-led government have called for calm, but gunfire has continued.